Open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Last week we talked a little bit about when the nation of Israel was at the brink of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them. And we talked about their call to faith, that God gave them a call to faith, and then God told them after that to move forward in faith. Today I want to look at another moment in the history and the life of the people of Israel as they prepared to take their journey to the Promised Land. I'm going to read out of Numbers chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." And he said unto him, "I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred." And he said, "Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee." Hobab was Moses' brother-in-law, and in this passage he invited him and his family, I'm sure, to go with the Israelites on their journey to the Promised Land. At first he refused, we read that, but Judges chapter 1, verse 16, I believe it is, suggests that probably he changed his mind and did go along with the nation of Israel. We don't often think of the Old Testament as an evangelical book, but this is a clear invitation to join the people of Israel as they followed God. As we begin this new year, I hope that we will understand as Christians we're on a journey to our promised land. Our promised land is heaven. And I hope that we will take the time to invite our family and friends and neighbors and co-workers and even our enemies to join us on the journey to heaven. There's some things about the journey that I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to tell you, I've wrestled with this message this morning. I think part of it is because there's some things that I want to say that I'm not sure God wants me to say. So you pray for this morning. I just want to say what God wants, that's all. What I have to say is really not important, so hopefully I can get myself out of the way and let him speak through me. First of all, the journey will require faithfulness. Verse 29, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." I want you to notice the words, "we are journeying." Those words indicate continuous action, daily action. Every day from this moment until they reached the Promised Land, every day they were on the journey. Sometimes they moved and worked, sometimes they rested, but all of that was part of the journey. They didn't take a break. They never took a break from the journey until they reached the Promised Land. I mentioned that as Christians we're on a journey. We're on our journey to heaven, and our journey to heaven requires faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Did you know that throughout the Scripture there are very few passages that say it is required? It's commanded. It's hoped. Jesus gave us examples to follow. But there are very few times where the Bible literally says it is required. But this passage, this verse says, it is required in stewards. Christians, we are stewards of the message of the Word of God. We are stewards of the kingdom of God. And it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Christianity is a daily, conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, and he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Last week we had a call to faith, that is to believe in Jesus Christ. This week, this is a call to faithfulness, to keep believing, to keep trusting, to keep following Jesus Christ. That means that as a Christian, every day we make that decision. I used to think, you know, Christianity was a one-time decision. You decide to confess your sins and accept Jesus as your Savior, and you became a Christian, and that was it. That's not it. That's the beginning. And then every moment after that, every day after that, we make the same decision, I will follow Jesus. That means every day we're going to study the Word of God, read and study the Word of God. That means we're going to be faithful to do that. We're going to be faithful to pray. We're going to be faithful to obey what we read in the Word of God. We're going to be faithful to obey what God tells us when we read His Word. And we're going to be faithful to come to church. Here it goes. Are you ready? Lift your feet up off the floor if you're sensitive. I do not understand why Christians don't go to church. I don't. If you say you're an employee of Walmart, you go to work. If you say you're an employee of the Blackwell Schools, you go to work. If you say you're an employee of anything, you go where you're employed. If you say you're the world's greatest sports fan, you love OU football, you go to the game or you watch the game. If you say you're a Christian, you go to church. Now I know some. Well, let me go on. Now, I know sometimes we think, you know, the pastor, you know, one of the least effective people, I think, to invite people to church is the pastor. Sounds odd, doesn't it? But I think sometimes when I go see people and I say, well, I've been missing you at church. Oh, yeah, well, you know, that's just his job. He has to say that. And the only reason the pastor wants us to come to church and the only reason the pastor wants us to be faithful to attend church is so that attendance number looks good back there on that board outside the sanctuary. That's all he really cares about is that number. Well, I want to tell you, that may be the case for some pastors. I don't know, but that's not the case for this pastor. Listen to what God said. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but for exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The assembling of ourselves together is not at work. The assembling of ourselves together is not at the grocery store. The assembling of ourselves together is not at the ball game. The assembling of ourselves together is not in the living room in front of the television on Sunday morning. The assembling of ourselves together is in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the church building. It's the assembling of ourselves together. And he said, don't forsake that. You know what that means? Go to church. I didn't say that. God said that. And then he said, as the manner of some is. Some of those folks who say they're Christians don't go to church. You've heard the excuses. I've heard the excuses. Well, Pastor, the church is full of hypocrites. Do you think everybody where you go to work, do you think everybody's just all gung-ho and excited to be at work? You know what? Some of those folks are hypocrites. They don't really want to be there. Are you going to stay home because they're hypocrites at work? Well, heavens no. I got to have that check. Got to pay the bills. Got to pay my tithes. God's not interested in your money. God is interested in your heart, your soul, your faithfulness. And he said, go to church. Now listen, I've talked about this before, and I always get in trouble when I talk about it. I understand sometimes there's a reason to stay home. I got that. Listen, if you're running a temperature and you're coughing all over everything, please stay home. If you got a headache, come to church. If you got a backache, come to church. My back hurts this morning. If you got a leg ache, come to church. If you're upset, come to church. If you got a heartache, come to church. If you're worried, come to church. If you're troubled, come to church. If you're joyous and happy, come to church. God said, don't stay away. That means come. Listen, you can't live, I can't live the Christian life. We can't do it on our own. We can't live the Christian life isolated from the worship of God and from the fellowship of God's people. We need each other. I need you. You need me. Not as your pastor, as your fellow Christian, as we walk on our journey to heaven. We need each other. That's why God said, come. There's encouragement. He said, exhorting one another. See, there's encouragement. Listen, there's folks in our congregation right here this morning who got some stuff going on. Bad things, sorrow, difficulties, problems. It's encouraging to come and be with other people. We got some folks here struggling spiritually. We have folks here who have family members who are struggling spiritually. It's encouraging. Sure, you could stay home and you could wallow in your self-pity and you could worry and you could fuss and you could carry on and say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. And you'd be right. I don't understand why Christians stay home from worship of God. The journey to heaven requires faithfulness every day, every minute of every day, till we get to the end of our journey. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 through 13 say, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Those whose love waxes cold won't be saved. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. The journey to heaven requires faithfulness in all the things that God has required us to do. So, let's be faithful. Now, I'm going to tell you, all you guys are a step ahead of everybody who's not here this morning because you're here. And I know everyone is just thinking, I don't know why you're yelling at me. I'm here. I hope I wasn't yelling at you. I hope I see you next Sunday right here. I hope I see other people right here next Sunday. Go tell them what I said. Go tell them what the Bible... Don't tell them what I said. Tell them what the Bible says. Tell them they can get on our website and listen to the message if you're really brave. One of the advantages of the journey, or one of the advantages on the journey, is fellowship. I want you to look again in verse 29. Moses said, we are journeying. And then he said to Hobab, come thou with us. They were going to be together on the journey. There'd be fellowship throughout the whole journey. They'd walk and talk and live and work together with their fellow Israelites, with their fellow travelers, with their fellow followers. They would be together. Christian, we're on this journey. Jesus is our leader and our guide, and our brothers and sisters in Christ are our fellow travelers, and we need to have fellowship with them. In fellowship, I've already mentioned this, there's encouragement. In fellowship, there's strength. Also in fellowship, there's responsibility. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It is our individual responsibility, as well as our individually corporately as a church body, to bear the burdens of our fellow believers. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've just been mad all morning long. I just can't help it. This is one of my pet peeves. Listen, folks, we can't help you bear your burden if you don't share your burden. Don't suffer alone. Don't struggle alone. Don't hide in your little spiritual closet and suffer. Share your burdens with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's my responsibility to bear your burden. How can I do that? How can I obey God? How can we obey God if we do not share our burdens with one another? Oh, well, Pastor, I don't want to bother you with my stuff. Well, God said I was supposed to be bothered with your stuff. So bother me. Bother the one sitting next to you. Call somebody on the phone and bother them. I've got a problem. I'm struggling. You know, I'm having a real difficulty. I've got pain. I've got affliction. Whatever it might be, I've got this burden. I don't understand this passage of Scripture. Could you help me understand it? Bear ye one another's burdens, and the only way we can do that is if you share your burden. What a wonderful relief it is to share your burden What a wonderful relief it is, if you'll pardon me to say it this way, is to dump a little of the load on somebody else. And by the way, what a wonderful relief it is to pick up somebody else's and quit worrying about mine. Other people's burdens always seem lighter than my burden. What a joy it is to lay down that heavy one and pick up one that's a little bit lighter. Let us do that. Let us bear each other's burdens and let us share each other's burdens. We're also responsible to love each other. 1 Peter 2:17 says, love the brotherhood. The brotherhood is the Christian family. Love the brotherhood. One of the joys of fellowship is that there are people here who love me. It's amazing to me sometimes. One of the joys of fellowship is there are people here to love us and to help us and to encourage us and to strengthen us and to pat us on the back and to cry with us and to laugh with us and to do all those things. That's part of the joy of fellowship. So listen, come to church and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Cultivate relationships, friendships with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Do things outside of the church, outside of the activities of the church even. Do things with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship makes the journey easier. And fellowship makes the journey much more enjoyable. Can you imagine if you had to do it all by yourself? And listen, some of us are trying to do it all by ourselves. And that's not the way God designed it. He said, let's go together. Moses said, come with us. We are journeying. There's fellowship. Finally, there's fruitfulness. This is another advantage of the journey. Verse 32 says, and it shall be if thou will go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee. That was a promise of God's blessing. God blesses us with good things. Even sometimes we don't think they're good, but they're always good things. God always blesses us with good things. God always does good things because God is good. And one of the good things that God does for us is that he makes us fruitful. Now, I want you to listen closely. We cannot bear fruit on our own. Sometimes we feel like a failure because we're not producing fruit. Well, I can't produce fruit. You can't produce fruit. That's not our job. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Our role is to abide in the vine. Our role is to follow Jesus. His role is to produce fruit. He's the vine. We're the branches. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Kevin, not the fruit of the Christian, the fruit of the Spirit. It's capitalized, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of God, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's not me, it's not you, it's God in us producing fruit. He makes us fruitful. He blesses us with fruitfulness as long as we're faithful, as long as we stay connected to the vine. John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All around us is turmoil and worry and fear and evil. But God blesses his children with peace, personal peace. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. John 15, 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. All around us are people who are so sorrowful. Have you noticed? Everywhere you look, people are so sorrowful, so downcast, so unhappy. And yet Jesus said, I'm going to give you abundant joy. You're going to abound in joy that your joy might be full. Listen, Christian, if you're not joyful, you know whose fault it is? It's your fault. Because God gives us joy. It's one of those fruits that He'll produce if we'll plug into the vine and stay plugged in. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." All around us are people who are hopeless. Hopeless. And yet God gives us an abundance of hope. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You talk about surrounded by want. All around us are people who are in want. And yet God supplies our every need. We don't have to be in want. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because God supplies every need that I have. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths." All around us are people without direction, without purpose in life. They're just kind of wandering around aimlessly, hoping something will click. And God gives us direction. And God gives us purpose. Blessings, the fruitfulness of the journey. Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me every day." People walk through the valley of the shadow of death, alone and afraid. Yet for the Christian who's faithful on the journey to heaven, there's comfort and peace, even in the time of death. The everyday blessings of God make the everyday journey a little easier to do. And the ultimate blessing of God when we reach the end of the journey, heaven, is more wonderful, more joyful, more majestic than we can ever imagine. So how about it? We are on a journey to the place that God promised us. Will you go with us? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Sheriff, you'll just come and play a song of invitation. I'm not sure what kind of invitation to give this morning. If you're here and you're not a Christian, now listen to me for just a minute, please. If you're here and you're truly not a Christian, I don't care if you say you are. I don't care if you tell other people you are. I don't care if you try to convince yourself you are, but in your heart you know, "I'm really not saved." Would you please get saved today? Would you join us on this journey to heaven? The blessings are wonderful. It's a great life to follow God. And Christian, could we all, myself included, just try to be a little more faithful? Enjoy our fellowship just a little more and be a little more fruitful. Let God really work in our lives on this journey to heaven. If you have a need, you come while Sheriff plays.